last I talked with one of our representatives, it was with Senator Sinclair last week, and we talked a little bit about the education bill. The last thing that she told me was that last Thursday, Senate Democrats had made a counterproposal to the one that the Republicans had had on the table for about a week, week and a half, and that the Republicans countered within a few hours after that. Where does that lie right now?
Well, yes, that is correct. The Senate Democrats' counterproposal to our compromise was offered a week after we offered it on 11 a.m. on April 18th, which we responded to their, we had our counterproposal to their counterproposal 4 hours later, 3 p.m. on that same day. As it stands, as we're doing this interview today, we have yet to hear. Over a week later, we're still waiting to hear from the Senate Democrats on what they want to do. And I just want to remind everyone, this is something that we had heard from way back early in the session from school administrators all over the state saying we need to know about our funding in order to get our budgets done. This is a bill that we passed back on February 20th of this year. The Senate didn't do anything with our bill for 42 days. And so you can see where we're just a little bit frustrated. This is, and if you go back, and I wrote a column on this about the timeline, about how, you know, the action taken by the House and how quickly we responded to their proposals or their compromises, what have you, and how fast we responded to them. So there's a stark difference between how fast the House is moving on this very important piece of legislation versus the Senate. And so it's a little bit frustrating, especially now we're coming up on, you know, May 3rd, which is the last day, the last official day of the session, which everyone knows we're going to go into extra innings. But the thing is this is something that we put as a priority way back in February, and here we are going into May, and this is still being used as a political football, and it's unfortunate for our school kids and for our school administrators.
How do you see this end up being resolved?
Right now, it's still the conference committee is still working out the detail. I mean, the ball is in the Senate Democrats' court right now. I think what the sticking point is here's what happened, Aaron, is we had, not only did we allow for the 4% allowable, well, it was 2% allowable growth for fiscal year 14 plus another one-time 2% allowable growth out of one-time money. So in essence, we've met the 4% allowable growth a benchmark for fiscal year 14. But what the House did in the compromise, we also added another 4% for fiscal year 15, so that next year this time we're not having to wrangle over this and use this as a political football again. We're trying to do our utmost best to have this already settled before next year. I think this is where we're calling the Senate Democrats bluff here, because they want to use this as a political football so that next year we're back in the same boat that we were this year. And we're trying to say, no, let's go to this two-year budgeting cycle and let's get this done so that administrators next year already know what's going to happen. So I think that's what probably the biggest hang-up is that the Senate Democrats don't like it that we've already set 4% allowable growth for next fiscal year 15. So that's unfortunate.
Other things going on in the legislature this week. I know when we just talked briefly beforehand, you said that there's been a lot of bouncing budget bills. That's pretty much the legal mechanism to get it into conference committee.
Sure, yeah. And what the bouncing bill is, just for instance, we pass a bill in the House of Representatives. We send it over to the Senate. The Senate can pass it as is. And then once they pass it, it goes on to the governor. However, that's very unlikely, especially with the different party controlling, you know, different parties controlling both chambers. So what typically happens, especially on budget bills, is we pass something in the House or the Senate passes something, we send it over to the other chamber. They can either tweak it just a little bit, put some clarifying language in there, they can, you know, do whatever, or they can amend it to where they completely scrap the original bill from the original chamber and rewrite it completely. In those situations, if they, let's say that the Senate just put tax on a little bit of clarifying language to a bill, they send it back to the House, we can either concur with that or we cannot concur. If we concur with it and we accept their amendment, then it goes on to the governor. If we do not concur, and in the situations like some of these budget bills where like the Senate completely scrapped our original bill and put all of their language in. Obviously, we're not going to concur with that. And when we do not concur with that bill, it goes into conference committee. And so you'll get five members from the House, 5 members from the Senate that go into that conference committee. Of those 5 members, three come from the majority party, 2 come from the minority party. So since we have the 2 different chambers and different parties, that essentially means we have 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans on this conference committee, and that's kind of the process. And they work out the differences in that committee to where both sides can pass it, and that's kind of the process behind what we call bouncing bills.
Sounds like that takes a little bit of time as well.
We've been doing a lot of bouncing bills this past week. That's, in fact, one of the bills that I ran earlier in the year dealing with landlord-tenant issues. That's exactly what happened. We passed it in the House with strong bipartisan support. It went to the Senate. The Senate tacked on just a little bit of clarifying language to that. It came back to the House. I didn't have any problems, and no one had any problems with the clarifying language that the Senate did. I brought it before the House floor this week and said, I concur. I would strongly urge the body to support this clarifying language, and we passed it out of the House, and it's on to the governor now. So we've been doing a lot of bouncing bills. Both chambers have been doing the what we call bouncing bills right now.
On a final non-legislative note today, Jeff Burkett was in town this past week. Talk a little bit about the message that he was there to deliver.
Well, I think he was earlier in the week. He was a guest of the Marion County Republicans at the Sprint Car Hall Museum, and he was just talking about the issues regarding Second Amendment rights and so forth. Interestingly enough, and this just shows the power of Iowa politics, at the Capitol this week, we had two National Rifle Association presidents, the current president David Keene and former president Kane Robinson, come to the Capitol and talk to us about issues and revolving around Second Amendment, and also trying to clarify a lot of misinformation that's been put out there regarding Second Amendment issues. And they've come into the state because they recognize we're one of the early caucus states, first in the nation caucus, and so it's important for, especially for the electorate in Iowa, to be up to speed on what's going on in Washington, D.C., and what's going on in Des Moines legislatively. And so we get, this is one of the fortunate things about being in Iowa. We get a lot of attention from all types of political, organizations, like everything from the National Rifle Association to the Sierra Club. We get a lot of attention here, and we should take advantage of that, and I think folks do. And yes, I had a chance to speak with Jeff Burkett, who is president of the Iowa Firearms Coalition, which is kind of an offshoot of the NRA here in Iowa. And he's offered his support as far as coming here and kind of being a spokesman for Second Amendment rights. But yes, it was a good event yesterday at the Capitol, and Mr. Burkett has said that any time that anyone wants him to come down, he'd be glad to come to Marion County and speak to the Second Amendment issues.